how many know
that
God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.
Hallelujah. How many believe it tonight? Somebody turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, he's able. Tell somebody else, he's able. Y'all ready? Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Valley Brook. Good morning. This is Elder Bobby Abercrombie, and it's good to see all of y'all on this beautiful Youth Sunday. Of course, if I had been there, there'd be a whole bunch of beautiful young people back behind me, to include my wife. But since I'm at home, then I only got the crew here with me. So, you know, it's always good to, you know, carry a youth with you and, you know, have somebody else wonderful with you as well. You know, I won't go too far because I know the Wonderbirds are at home right now, probably in their pajamas. So Pastor Dan and Laverne, hi. So this morning, like I said, this morning, our scripture reading and announcements will be done by Dina, my wife. And afterwards, we will hear the sermon. And then after that, Abeku will come to give us a offering song. So, no further ado.
Good morning, Valley Brook and friends. We are so happy to come before you this morning with our announcements. We want to give a special welcome to all of our first-time visitors. We are happy that you've chosen to worship with us at Valley Brook. Click on the link below in our first time visitors card and take a few minutes to complete it. You will also find this form on our streaming page after the sermon. This will help us pray for you and notify you of future Valley Brook events. Praise reports, prayer requests, and sick and shut-in reports. If you have information about a member who has become ill, or if you would like others to pray for you, please complete a prayer request card located under the Pastor's Corner tab, or also on the streaming tab in our website, and we will ensure to lift you up. Also, every Wednesday at 8 p.m., we have a prayer conference call, and the phone number and access code are listed on the website's homepage and in today's bulletin on our website. Offering. You may contribute your regular tithes and offerings on our website through our giving tab or via mail to our office address listed in the back of our bulletin. You Effect 2020. The You Effect will be completed and sent out via email within the next month. If you would like a paper copy of the You Effect, please reach out to Carla via text with your name and mailing address, so that she is able to send it to you as soon as possible. Sunday School. Hello, parents. It's that time of year again to recognize those children who have reached another milestone in their spiritual education. Though we are unable to meet in person, we still plan to make sure your child receives acknowledgement of their success. We will be creating a video montage to be shown during the Sunday service on June 28th, 2020. So if your child attends Sunday school and will be entering kindergarten, third grade, sixth grade, or ninth grade in the fall, please connect with Chris Mills on how to create a video of your child. Chris can be reached at cmills15@yahoo.com, and videos are due to Chris on June 14th, 2020. Thank you. Access our bulletin. Please reference this morning's bulletin for our scripture reading and more complete information about the Valley Brook happenings. You may access the bulletin by clicking on the streaming tab and link in the link labeled Virtual Bulletin. So now for our scripture reading. Our scripture comes from 2 Kings, verse 13. Verses 14 through 16. And 16 through 19. That's 2 Kings, verse 13, verses 14 through 19. I'll give you a minute. It's also located in our bulletin. And the Word of God says, "Now Elisha had been suffering from the illnesses from which he died. Jehoash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. 'My father,' he cried, 'the chariots and horsemen of Israel.' Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows, a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said to the king of Israel. When he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. You will completely destroy the Arameans at Aphek. Then he said, take the arrows, and the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it three times and stopped. The man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will only defeat it only three times. Be blessed by the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Most gracious God, our Father, we thank you so much for being the God that helps us defeat all the battles in our lives. God, we ask that you would touch those that are affected by the pandemic. We ask, God, that you would protect those that are protesting right now, God. We ask that you would protect those that are just feeling downtrodden in their heart. You would protect those, God, and heal those that are sick today. That you would touch those among us, Lord, that are being affected by anything, whether it's a work situation, the essential workers. Lord, touch them. Lord, we ask that you would just be with us on this day. You know what we stand in need of, oh God. Touch our country. Touch our hearts. Be the God of our salvation. Give us the protection that we need. And we are so grateful, Lord, for who you continue to be. The God of peace. The God of strength. The God of provision. We ask, God, that you would take the offerings, that you would use them, Lord, for the upbuilding of your kingdom. We ask, oh God, that you would be among us, that you would touch my husband. You would touch him, Lord, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, that you would give him, Lord, what he stands in need of, to speak your word in truth, in power, in love. God, we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, Valley Brook. Amen. As in typical fashion, I've already shed the jacket, so you know it had to come off at some point. Our scripture reading this morning was from 2 Kings chapter 13 verses 14 through 19. Again, it talked about a situation in which Israel was facing an enemy that was ready to take it on. An enemy that was ready to wipe it out. An enemy that continued to be a thorn in its side. We look at a time where the king is now getting ready to walk in and look for the help of God, but finds the man of God sick, and finds the man of God as ready to leave him and feeling as if that, okay, this is about to be a time that I'm alone. This is about to be a time where I think that God might be with them. And I notice that in this time right now that we're all having some sense of that. We all are having some sense of feeling like there's an enemy out there that's larger than who we are. There's an enemy out there that seems to be taking more away from us than we're willing to give. And we're feeling a sense of isolation, a sense of helplessness. But I'm here to tell you today, God is truly able. God is truly able. As you heard in the song before we got started by Dietrich Haddon, God is able. And if we remain fully committed to who he is, to what he is, to what he's going to do within us, then all things will be made good for us. All things will be made good. So today, young people, as we begin to go into a different time, a time where we would have been celebrating through proms, a time where we would have been celebrating through graduation, a time where we would have been celebrating even more as we leave new friends and going into new situations, and instead we're kind of at home watching the rest of the world happen. I'm here to let you know that nothing has stopped when it comes to God's mission for you. Matter of fact, all you got to do is stay committed. This is the beginning of the fight. My sermon for you today is called Fully Committed. Fully Committed. During this time, Jehoash went to go see Elijah. Like I said, he went and saw him on his deathbed. And during the time of Israel and the time that he had been taken over, what the leader of God would do would go to the man of God and ask for what it was that he would need in order to go into the battle. Okay, when he made the mention of him being the chariots of Israel, this was actually a reference to something that was even said before to Elijah when he was taken up. But it was a common theme about what the power of God was to the Israelites. He was the actual power that allowed for them to move through to conquer overwhelming force. A lot of times when we get into our issues, we seem like we know that we need overwhelming power to get through overwhelming force. But we don't see all that it is that we have within us. We don't see all that we have to move forward. So we go to God, and then there are times when we might feel like, is he there? We might feel like there's a little isolation. But point one is, know that God is present even if you can't sense him. So much of what we do goes by our five senses, what we can see, what we can hear, what we can taste, what we can touch. But God doesn't go by our senses. You see, the presence of God is forever around us. So anytime it appears that he's not there, any appearance that we might feel of isolation, of separation, of abandonment, are only times when God is actually repositioning himself so he can strengthen the places that need to be strong. God's presence here for Israel, God already knew that they believed in the man of God. But what they need to believe in was God. The presence of God. So knowing that they needed to believe more in the presence of God, Elijah started to take the leader of God, the Jehoash. I know I was gonna mess something up at some point. Jehoash, and say, look, I'm going to show you that God is there present. I'm going to show you that God is with you, and if you are willing to commit with me, God will use it. God's presence never leaves us. Sometimes the feeling of closeness may wane, but his presence never changes. God does, however, shift himself around in our lives to protect us or to move us or to focus us into another place. God knows the places where our blessings are coming from, so he might shift us from one place to another, so that we're not there just in our perceptions and that we're not just moved by our vulnerabilities. No, that place where he has moved us from, he has come to make strong. I think the question that we sometimes ask is, where is the power that holds us? What is the power that sometimes holds us back? You know, at times we do feel a little bit scared. We do feel a little bit isolated. So where is that power? In searching for the power of God, be willing to place all your weapons in his hands. Notice when Elijah talked to Jehoash, he told him to go get the bows and arrows. Okay? Now, the bows and arrows back then were principal weapons. Okay? Bows and arrows in our lives are principal weapons that we use That can be our talents. That can be our strengths. That can be circumstances that we've gone through. And sometimes we take those bows and arrows and we hide them. Sometimes we think that those bows and arrows aren't good enough to handle the adventures or to handle the struggles or to handle the events that we might have to deal with in our life. Sometimes we believe that all we have at our fingertips is the whatever is of greater strength, whatever it is that we've proven that we can do well. Well, I know that I'm good at singing, so I'll just sing and maybe that'll find my way of making its way through to getting me to where I want. Or maybe all I am is I'm pretty good with numbers, but I'm afraid to do anything else, so maybe I'll just stick with the numbers. But God wants us to use all that He's given us. He hasn't set us with all the things that we have just so that we can sit back on some of them, hide them under a bushel and say, we'll just go with what our strength is, what our strengths are. What skills you have, you minimize or discard, you're holding back from allowing God to use. See, Elijah was very clear on how important these skills were. He's how important each talent was, because he knew that even ordinary things could be used to do the miraculous. He had, when Elijah was taken away, his cloak fell away, and that's what Elijah used to cross the Jordan. He had used just a stick. He had used just a stick in order to heal the waters so that it could be purified. Just ordinary items. Jesus knew what ordinary items were good. He used water. He used mud. And he used a poor boy's lunch. So if these are just ordinary items doing miraculous things, then what is it that you think that God can do with the talents that he has given you? Young people, nothing that you have been given was given without some thought. Nothing that you have been given was given without God knowing what it was that you were going to go through. He has prepared you ahead of time. Each one of those talents is just like in the parable. It's going to be used, but if you hide it, it gets taken away. So in this time where all these things are going on around you, what tools are you hiding? What things are you putting back and saying, no, they're not developed enough yet to be used? Think about that. But then when you get to the point to where you're thinking, I want you to stop. I want you to stop thinking and just play. You know, those of you who are sports fans have probably heard this phrase of he's thinking too much. You know, I wish you just stop thinking and just play. Okay. If you're watching like a performance, it's like watching an actor who you know is talented, who you know can do all manner of things, and you see them kind of going through the motions. They're as if they were saying the script and speaking the script, but they're seeing and looking at every director line that's in the script. So, you know, it says smile after you say thanks, you know, or stomp your feet emphatically, you know. So it's as if, you know, they are so within the realm of the script that they've forgotten to get into the spirit of it. Don't we get like that sometimes? Don't we get like that when we're trying to be so perfect, when we're trying to be so, we're trying to keep from that criticism, from the doubt, from worrying about whether or not this is going to be good enough. And we start to perform, we're starting to perform based upon what we think the evaluations of others are going to be. Instead of just playing, instead of just letting it flow. I know what that's like because, I mean, even in doing what I'm doing, when I'm at a point to where I'm worried and where I'm feeling like it's going to be, it needs to be perfect. It needs to be right on time. I get uptight, I get tense, and I stutter a lot more. But then in the times when I start to settle back and say, God, just allow for this to flow through me. Just allow for your word to just speak. I'm able to settle back in, and normally my voice changes a little bit, and I'm able to feel his presence, and I know that, hey, I'm walking down this road with you, and I know that what's going to be said and what's going to be done is going to be done according to what you have ordained. This idea of being able to play, without thinking, actually comes up from ancient times. I told you that the bow and arrow was a tool that was used very much in the past. Well, the bow and arrow to the Chinese was used as a philosophical instrument. Confucius used it and called it this phrase called Wu Wei, which means to try but not try. You see, what the archers had to do back in the day was they didn't have all of the fancy stuff that we have. They didn't have sights on their bows and arrows. They didn't have these little plastic pegs that you're supposed to put your fingers between so that you can know exactly where to put the arrow, so that you could keep your aim consistent, so that you could hit a target, or, you know, be able to use the wind gauge on the arrow so that you could get it to the target if you had to shoot it long distance. No, all they had was the wood and the string. And they had to practice. And practice until the act of the shooting a bow and arrow became instinctive. They had to practice and practice to the point to where if they saw a target that they had to hit from long range, they just knew where to raise their arms, where to sight their bow, where to sight that arrow, how far to pull it back, and when to release. It was a split second thing, and it went on not because they had calculated everything out, but because they were in that instinctive part of the task, of the performance. They were in Wu Wei. They were trying, but not trying. When we're looking at Wu Wei in the eyes of Jesus, what we're talking about is allowing us to be in full in his spirit. What we're saying here is that we are trying to invoke fully all of who God is and allowing him to be all that he can be within us. We're not sitting back concentrating on what's wrong or what's right. We're concentrating on where God is in our lives and what it is that he has for us to do, and then taking all that we have and allowing him to use it. Verse 16 symbolizes God's presence and promise of his presence, that even when you can't see him or think, you are in this alone. Just stand in the Wu Wei. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by power or by might, but by his spirit. It's in that same spirit that James Weldon Johnson wrote his words of stoning the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod. Felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat, have not our weary feet come to a place for which our fathers sighed. In those dreary places, God is still present. It means that he is always there, and that dreariness, that there is a light ready to shine. But in those dreary places, in those dreary times, it requires faith. It invokes a faith. And it's a faith not measured by the size, but it's measured by where it's placed. Matthew 13:31 says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain, a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seed, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh the tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. What was that scripture saying to you all today? You are a fertile ground for God to use. You are a fertile ground for God to grow within. And you are a fertile ground that if God is allowed to grow within you, he will not just stop at a certain point and allow for you to do all the rest. He will increase you in your confidence. He will increase you in your love. He will increase you in your strength. He will increase you in all that you are and in all that you must endure. He will embrace the darkness with you. He will change your weary days, your dreary days, and give you the kind of hope, the kind of hope that allows for you to change how you see the perspective of your life. To change it so that you're able to look at those dreary days and say, God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, those who have brushed thus far on the way, thou who has by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. It is the indwelling that Pastor was talking about in the Just for a Moment. It's the indwelling. It's God saying, I don't want to be beside you. I don't want to be behind you. I don't want to be in front of you. I want to be in you. I want to be fully in you. And letting him in allows him to grow into all that you have. Letting him in allows him to grow and to shift your focus from what was there to what will be. Elijah knew what Jehoahaz was up against. And he knew how formidable the enemy would be. He knew the dangers and the strategies it would take for him to overcome and be victorious. He knew the losses and the assets that it would take and that would need to be sacrificed. So he knew the price of victory. Young people, God knows what you're up against. He understands that these are trying times. But you know what? In trying times, that's when strong people rise. In trying times, that's when the fullness of your mission takes shape. In trying times is when you can't sit back on the laurels of what you've done before. But you have to sit in the full strength of what God is pushing you forth to do. So since we're at a point to where we want to move forward in our lives, then let me give you just three quick points. Some practical things just to help us move forward. Things that we can help to look for. Verse 17 says, open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, Elijah said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elijah declared, you will completely destroy the Arameans at Ephah. Point one is take God's direction. Elijah tells Jehoahaz to shoot east. Well, what was east? East was the direction of the enemy. East was the direction of the force that was there. But it wasn't just the force that Elijah was having him to focus on. You see, to the east, when he looked out of that window, he could see Aphek. Aphek was a place where Israel had already battled the Arameans before. As a matter of fact, I believe it's 1 Kings 20, verses 26 through 29, you'll see that here were the Israelites sitting. They had already been overtaken by the Arameans. They were already under their rule. And the Arameans were doing things to make them seem even smaller, threatening to take the best and the brightest of them, and then to humiliate them by saying that they could come back in and take whatever they want. And so at the point of this disrespectful type of talk, the Israelites pretty much said to the king, wait, come on. We have been good servants up to now, but now you have gone too far. So the Aramean said, fine. It was Ben-Hadad, who was the king at that time, says, fine, we're going to come and attack. We're going to take the 26 kings that we have with us, and we're going to bring an overwhelming force, and we're going to come and attack. And the kings looked there at him and said, all right. So he went to the man of God and says, what do we do here? And the man of God told him, you'll defeat him. But you're not going to defeat him with the mass of your army. No, you're going to do it with the junior officers. And you're a very small force. Like I said, nothing ever stops him. Nothing ever allows for, nothing ever gets in the way of God getting what he's wanted to do, have done. And I'm not going to let it stop me either. So like I said, when you're dealing with an overwhelming force, you don't let anything get in your way. I love that scripture in 1 Kings 20, 26 through 29, because what it shows is that despite whatever is going on, you can overcome it. The Israelites didn't have a big enough force to be able to take on the powers of the Arameans. They didn't have a big enough force. They were already a conquered people. Yet and still, despite that, they still fought with the fullness of who they had. And not only did they fight, but they fought and were victorious. If you are feeling at any point in your life right now, dealing with anything that feels like it's more than you, understand that you have a power bigger than anything else that is out there. God's power rules this world. God's power is there to make sure that if you can just depend on him and hold on to him and stand close with him and do what it is that you've been given through him, then you can conquer it. It doesn't matter what things are coming against you. It doesn't matter the odds. It doesn't matter who's in power. It doesn't matter what's in power. It doesn't matter whether or not you're good enough in it. It doesn't matter whether or not you perfected it or not. It doesn't matter whether or not it's harder than other things. If you are willing to allow for God to take the fullness of who you are and use it, he can use whatever it is to conquer whatever is coming against you. Okay? When he says to shoot, he wants you to shoot right now. Okay. In other words, now is the time. Now is the time to move. Most of you have started this particular year. You started off the year and it seemed like every other. It looked like, hey, we're going to start up as if you were a freshman going into high school, I'm starting a brand new school. If you are a freshman going into college, hey, I'm starting a brand new experience. If you are a senior coming in, it was, hey, this is the party year for some of them. For some of them, this was the work as hard as you can year to try to get ready for the end of the year. And all of a sudden, it was all upended. All of a sudden, you were doing things that were totally outside of what was the norm. And it caused a lot of us to doubt. Some of us had doubts already before, but it really caused us to doubt. To doubt whether or not we were capable enough. To doubt whether or not this is really something that we were going to be able to be successful through. To doubt whether or not we were able to do what it takes to actually fulfill the dreams that we had. None of your dreams were put on hold, young people, when this happened. None of your dreams are ever going to be put on hold. What you are to do is for you to do now. When I was writing this, I was thinking, you know, well, from what point should I come when I talk about shoot now? And immediately, the first thing I thought of was this little book that I've been working on. Now, me working on a book shouldn't be too much because you say you talk too doggone much. So you should have enough words to put down on 100 pages. And I probably do. Unfortunately, as soon as I put pen to paper, it all goes away. Because as soon as I put pen to paper, the first thing I think is anybody really going to believe what I'm saying? The second thing I think is anybody going to actually care about what I'm saying? And the third thing I think is it going to be good enough? I start to look at everybody else's reaction about what it is that's going to be evaluated about what it is that I have to do. And too many times in our own lives, that's what we do. And we hesitate. We slow down. We procrastinate. We push it off. All because we're just waiting, hoping that maybe something else will come up that allows us to use the things that we're comfortable with, the things that we're most strong with. And then, you know, allow us to move and we can do it then. Because we know that we're going to get the cheers for that. We know we're going to get the accolades for that. We know it's going to be easy for that. We get that. So, yeah, give me that. Give me that. But unfortunately, that's not where your victory is going to come from. That's not where the glory of God is going to show up in your life. It's in that place where it takes a little bit more effort. It's in that place where it takes a little bit more strength. It's in that place where you got to step out beyond the little bit of what you got. And I think that was the really big point behind the last part of these verses in verses 18 and 19 that Elijah was trying to get the king to see. That you don't need to do all of this within your strength. I've shown you before. I showed it to Joshua. I showed it to Moses. I showed it to David. I showed it to you all. You don't need a whole lot if you got me. All I need for you is to fully commit to who I am and to what I bring to the table. You see, the last part of the scripture talks about how Elijah says to the king to take the arrows and to strike the ground. And the king went and he struck the ground and he struck it three times. And Elijah got angry. Got angry. Now, was he angry because he only hit it three times? I suspect that the prophet was angry because he saw what it was that he was offering to the king. And the king wasn't convinced that that was what he was going to get. He sat there and had already told you, hey, here is the arrow of victory over Aaron. It is yours. It is yours. There is no doubt about it. God has already ordained it. I want you to hit the ground to let God know that how committed you are to this task. And he went and he hit the ground three times. As you read on through the scripture, you learn that hitting that thing three times, what it meant is that just in those three battles, all he was going to be able to do is recover what it was that Aaron had taken away from him. But what he had guaranteed was his complete and utter victory. Had he just hit it a fourth time, he may have been able to say, you know, hey, I know I got this much strength, but hey, God, I'm going to do just one more. Had he hit it the fifth time, he was saying, hey, I know I have this much strength, but I know you had two times more. Had he hit it the sixth time, it was, I know I have this much strength, but I know you have equal and more to what I have to give. The thing that I'm trying to get you to see today is that you have all that you need. Your victory has already been guaranteed, and it's up to you to commit yourself enough to God to let him use you to do it. Nothing you have is going to be sent to waste. No mission that you have been given is ever going to be moved away from. The only person that can abort you from that mission is you. God has already set you on that path. God has already guaranteed that your win is going to come. How willing you are to get that win is up to you. So in essence, what I want you to say is I want you to be fully dependent. fully committed. I want you to be fully committed to Christ. I want you to be fully committed to the mission that he has for you to do. I want you to be fully committed to the tools that he's given you, those that have been developed, as well as those that are you're not sure of. Allow for him to use every bit of you. Allow for him to use and indwell in all of you, so that in his full strength, you can conquer whatever enemy that comes against you. Just like we had to do today, there are struggles that are going to come. And I don't care what they are. They may interrupt, but they cannot take away. They cannot end it. God will always find a way to make sure that what he has for you is for you and it will be heard. God bless y'all this morning.
Hey family, so as y'all know, today is Youth Sunday, and as youth, it's been a really unnerving time. As people, it's been a very unnerving time. We face a lot that's getting in our way of achieving the things that we want to achieve. Graduations canceled. Internships, jobs, renounced basically because we can't get to the things that we want. Our safety pulled away because of the way that we look. And it just feels like there's so many struggles that we've been encountering that we're defeated by. But as my dad was saying in this sermon, it's important for us to take our stand right now, as people, as followers in Christ, and listen to what he has told us to do, whether it be stay strong, put in that extra work to find that job, to find that extra certification that we can get to do the things that we want to do, to achieve the things that we want to achieve, whether it be protesting, let the world hear our voice, whether it be fight for the things that we think are right, or whether it be staying home so we don't get other people sick and protect the people that we live with. Now is the time for us to stand up and fight for the things that God has told us to do. Commit ourselves to the things that God has told us to do. And I feel like that is really the true essence of this song that I'm choosing to sing today.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies. Let it resound loud as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of a new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. Stony the road we trod, bitter the chastening rod, felt in the days when hope unborn had died. Yet with a steady beat have not our weary feet come to the place for which our Father sighed. We have come over a way that with tears has been watered. We have come treading a path through the blood of the slaughtered. Out from the gloomy past, till now we stand at last, where the white gleam of our bright star is cast. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who has brought us thus far on the way, Thou who has by Thy might led us into the light, lead us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met Thee. Lest our hearts, drunk from the wine of the world, we forget Thee. Shadowed beneath Thy hand, may we forever stand true to our God, true to our native land.